And before we begin, I just want to again thank the team from North Carolina. It's just such a thrill to work with you guys. And for those that weren't out today, we had just a really great day. And the car wash, we did a gospel car wash at the fire hall, and it kind of went better than we thought. I mean, we had cars lining up and blocking traffic, and we had the guys come by and warn us not to block the doors. And so it was very successful, and the team was worked very hard trying to keep up with the volume of vehicles. But really, you know, what we were doing there is we had a sign out that said $1 car wash. And I just want to share with you some of the comments that were made, because what we did was at the end of the car wash, we sent them, once the young folks washed the cars, they sent them over to see me or Phil, and we paid them $1. And we used that to explain to them the free gift of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. We have to receive that gift, right? And that led to the gospel. We gave them a gospel of John. And so if you get a lot of phone calls in the near future, that's why. We put Hugh's name and number in the front page of the Bibles if they wanted to follow up. And it was just a great event. I mean, people were really surprised at what we were doing. I mean, some of the looks on the faces, like one lady was like, what? You know? What are you doing? And you know, so many people were actually trying to give us money. They had, you know, they saw the sign said $1, they had $5 out, they had $10, they had $20. And they wanted to give us money, we would not take it. And a few of them just really insisted to take the $1 back, and so, you know, a few of them got away with that, but most of the time. I had an older gentleman from Ontario, and he says, and I walked up to him and said, well, here's your dollar, sir. And he said, well, what are you talking about? He had a German accent. I pay for the car wash. I said, no, you don't. Well, yes, I do. I said, look, it's my car wash. And I get to say how we do it here. It says $1. I'm giving you $1 to wash your car. And it was really cool to, you know, just share a little bit with him. And, you know, he kind of paused. And he says, you know, he says, I am kind of a nominal Christian. He says, I only go to church when somebody gets married or dies. And he said, that's not a good thing. So, you know, it just caused some people to pause a little bit, think about what we're doing. People were really, we met a few believers that came along that were really excited about what we were doing. One lady from Australia, she's actually from Cape Breton, but she married an Australian, moved away many years ago, and just came back to show her daughter the area. So anyway, it was a wonderful thing, and you know, Phil and I probably had the best part of that event today because we got to see the reaction on people's faces. It was truly remarkable. And there was really only a couple that were kind of, you know, well, weren't, you know. Most were so friendly and very willing to receive the Gospel of John. But, you know, whether you were, you know, hosing the cars like Carrie or scrubbing away on that dirt or sharing at the end, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. And that's what I would encourage you, you know, like, and thank you so much for the time that you're investing here. And, you know, praise the Lord, you know, we the seeds that were sown today, tremendous. And, you know, it's all for Him. And He sees it all. And He knows exactly what's going on. And nothing is lost with Him. Sometimes we can be discouraged when we don't see immediate results. And we worry and we wonder sometimes. But nothing is lost with Him. He knows everything that's going on. And He understands. And, you know, we're sowing seeds. So be encouraged by that, and thank you very much for your efforts. And I think we better have a lot of burgers for tomorrow, because I think a lot of people are going to be coming out for that barbecue. But anyway, all ready? It was your idea. So anyway, just want to share a few thoughts. I know you're all tired and after that day, but we'll just share a few thoughts from Romans chapter 3 tonight. If you're here tonight, you know the Lord, then I'd like you to just meditate a little bit on what we have in Christ. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, then perhaps this will speak to you, and I hope and trust that it does. But some beautiful verses here in Romans chapter 3 that are so important, and it kind of ties in a little bit with what Phil was sharing earlier and what Pierre commented about works and things, you know, and being good people and all that. Romans chapter 3. You know, brings us out. And as we were out today, you know, we were sharing good news with people, and that's the positive side of the story. And certainly, it's the more enjoyable part to share with people, right? We have good news, and it truly is. I mean, we have the best news in the world, and we don't say that lightly. You know, I mean, it's so important. I mean, we have something here in the scriptures, and Phil was sharing about the need to share with others. I mean, we have the greatest message in the world. We have the greatest news that has ever been told. We have the greatest love story that has ever been told to share with people. And this is something that is so positive and encouraging and wonderful. And we ought not to be ashamed of that, because we have good news to share with people. But of course, we also have the truth of what the Bible teaches about man's heart, and that's the negative side of the story. And we're going to begin there tonight a little bit, to pause and reflect on that. And in Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And you know, that's a tough point for people. It certainly is. And I've met a lot of people in my life who, you know, find that very offensive, this idea that I'm not a good person, or that I'm not righteous in and of myself. And certainly that's a negative thing, and some people can't accept that. And I've had people say to me, "Well, I've never killed anyone, and I've never robbed a bank, and, you know, I'm a good person." But the Bible says something different about all of us, and that verse was quoted earlier to us. All have sinned, right? All have sinned. It's in here too, and fall short of the glory of God, of God's glory. We're all in the same boat as sinful people, and the Bible says the reality is, the fact of the matter is, that there is not a single person righteous in this world. And that is the truth that people need to hear and to understand, that we are not righteous people. And it doesn't matter all the good works we've done or how good we think we are, and certainly there's many lovely people. You know, I met people today, and as they were wanting to really give the kids, you know, a gift and support the ministry that we were involved in, I mean, I said to them, like, "You know what? You're very kind." And it really is. Like, you know, they're generous people. They see the sign that says $1, but they're willing to give us 20 to help us out. And they're very kind in that respect, you know. That's not an evil thing that they're doing. And so we understand that, you know, there's lots of unrighteous people who can be very kind, right? But before God, this is the issue. And this is the heart of man. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the passage goes on, as many of us know, and elaborates on that condition a little farther for us. None that seeks God. And in and of ourselves, the natural man, there's none righteous. And we have to remember that as we're sharing with people. And if you're here tonight and thinking that you're a good person outside of God, it's just not true. There's none righteous before God. And so that's where we begin. But it goes on to the story here. And let's skip on down here to verse 20. I want to read verse 20 to you. It says here that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. Some people think, "Oh, well, if I do good works, if I keep certain religious laws, that somehow I can be justified with God. I can make myself right with God. I mean, I'm just going to try to be a good person, and I'm going to reform myself, and I'm going to be faithful in church every Sunday, and I'm going to make sure I give, and I'm going to do this, and good works, and help my neighbors and friends." No, that's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. But it won't justify you with God, because God says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh is justified in His sight. It can't be done. That's not the answer to our problem of the fact that we don't have righteousness before God. We're not justified by works, right? We'll talk more about that before we're finished. But here we come to the passage here in verse 21. It says, "But now," and I want you to notice here where the emphasis on when it talks about righteousness and whose it is that we're talking about tonight. Look at this. "But now, the righteousness of God," the righteousness of God, "apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference." You see, we started with the righteousness of man. There's no righteous man. And people today sometimes, and we sometimes deceive ourselves into thinking that we're good and that we are righteous, but the Bible talks about the righteousness of God. Only He is righteous, the reality is. And here we see, but the righteousness of God, apart from the law, apart from works, apart from keeping religious commandments, is witnessed. It's the righteousness of God, what? Through faith. And there's the message that we proclaim. And as we were sharing with people today, you know, as we gave them that gift, and we tried to share with them that, you know what, for a gift to be effective, you have to receive it. You have to take it. Otherwise, it's of no value to you. If I set, you know, something down, if I say, "Oh, here's a nice iPad, and if anybody would like to just take that home tonight, just feel free." But if nobody does, then you don't benefit from it. You have to take, yeah, that's right. That's Pierre's. He might be upset. But, you know, you have to take the gift, right? Or it's of no effect. And this is the righteousness of God by faith, through faith in Jesus Christ. And so automatically we see here that it's not by our works, it's not by our efforts of ourselves, it's not by our religiosity or religion. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness of God through faith. And notice it's to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Praise the Lord. It's by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? Well, you know, I mean, we can say, you know, lots of people say, oh yeah, sure, I believe in there was a guy named Jesus. Yeah, he lived 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Died on a cross. Heard all about it. And, you know, we can believe about somebody, certainly, right? And there's many people that do. I mean, the scriptures tell us that the devils believe and tremble. They know that Jesus exists. What does it really mean to believe in this one that we call Jesus? Well, it means, as Brother Phil was sharing, that we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. We repent. We turn to Him by faith. We take Him. We receive Him. We believe in Him. We put our faith and our trust in Him to save us, understanding that we have no righteousness of our own, that it has to come from Him. And so if we want God's righteousness, it will be through faith to all and on all who believe. There's no difference. All have sinned. We've read that, verse 23. And fall short of the glory of God. And that's the message that we also need to share with people. Not that we're trying to, you know, bring judgment on people ourselves or trying to be mean towards others, but it is God's truth, and it's a vital truth that's important to share with people. Because the reality is, if I'm not, you know, a sinner, what do I need to be saved from? What's the point? What's the point, right? If I'm a good person already, if I can justify myself with God, then there's no need for that. But the reality is that all have sinned. And we're all in the same boat together. There's nobody above anybody else. We're all in the same boat together. We're all sinners and lost, as were those two thieves on that cross hanging either side of the Lord. We fall short of God's glory. But look what it says in verse 24. It says, we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, I'll explain that in a moment, by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You see, we're justified freely by grace, freely. And, you know, we read in the sixth chapter that this is a gift of God, the free gift of God. Salvation is a gift given to us by God, a free gift. And we've been justified freely through grace, by God's grace. Not through works, not through our own efforts, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And notice it says it is His righteousness. It's to demonstrate His righteousness, because God's righteousness is very different than ours, right? Totally different than ours. And this is a demonstration of His righteousness. Now, notice what it says in verse 26, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You know, praise the Lord, God does not sweep anything under the carpet. He does not overlook sin. Our God is holy. He is righteous. And you know, as a believer, as a person, I can take great comfort in the fact that knowing that one day that the Lord Himself will set everything right. You know, there's many injustices in this world, all around us, all the time. But the Lord God does not, there's nothing out of His view, and He will set everything right in a coming day. There's an accounting to God, and He doesn't just overlook things or set things aside or sweep them under the carpet and say, well, let's forget about it. God is just, and He is holy. And, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, can't God just, you know, overlook my faults? I mean, after all, my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. And after all, can't He just, you know, weigh that in the balance and accept me? But you know what? If I, you know, I'm from Ontario, I'm coming to Cape Breton, and if I come here and I'm laboring in your community, and I join the volunteer fire department, and I go clean up the beach on Saturday mornings, and I sweep the sidewalks, and I, you know, try to feed the poor here, but then one day I go down and rob the local bank, and when I'm standing before the judge, wherever the nearest courthouse is, I don't know. Where is that? Port Hood?
Not anymore.
Not anymore?
Cool.
You gotta go to Hawkesbury now. I'm standing before the judge, and he says, Mark, you robbed the Royal Bank up in Inverness, son. You got to go to jail. I go, whoa, hold on a second now. Look at, I cleaned the beach for free. I volunteer at the fire department. I sweep the streets. I feed the neighbor's cat. Can't you outweigh my good deeds over my bad? Well, of course, it's ridiculous, isn't it? And yet we think of that when it comes to our souls, when it comes to God, when it comes to eternity. You see, God is just, and He does not overlook anything. All sin is accounted for in God's economy. But He's just and the justifier. So we say, if the judge says to Mark, 20 years for robbing the bank, everybody in the community, would, when they read that in the paper, would say, well, there's a good judge. Yeah, he threw the book at him. He's just. And that's what we want in our justice system. Justice. Justice was served. He's a just judge. But it also says here that God is the justifier. Now, if that judge says, well, Mark, you know what? I think you're kind of right. You know what? You're a pretty good guy. And after all, you're from Ontario. And we take that into consideration. You know, we'll go a little bit easier on you because of that fact, you know. Okay, all right, you know, 1 year of community service. We would say that he is a justifying judge. We would say that he's trying to justify me, you see. But see, God doesn't do that on the basis of unrighteousness. He does it on the basis of his righteousness, of the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross. And because the Lord Jesus fully paid for our sin, the word propitiation in our Bibles just means full and complete satisfaction, if we could put it that way for tonight, for simplicity. I know it can mean mercy seat and other things. The Lord Jesus fully satisfied God's righteous requirements for man's sin, because the soul that sins, it shall die, the scripture says. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and 23. The wages of sin is death. And so the Bible declares that if we sin against the Lord, and we have all sinned, then our just reward is eternal damnation in hell. And that's a terrible message, but it's the truth. And it's a weighty thing, but it's the truth. And God is just in that, because he is God. He made us. He makes the rules, not us. And this world is in for a rude awakening in the coming day. And it's a terrifying thing. And it's not a happy thing to think about. And it's something that's too great for us to bear. The Lord knows, but God is just. And we need to warn people, to warn every man to flee from the wrath to come. Because God's wrath will be poured out in this world, undiluted. And that will not be a good thing for anyone. And we don't want to see anyone face that. We want to share with them this good news that God is not only just, he is a justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And because the Lord Jesus took my sin on him at Calvary. And that literally means, if we could just, you know, pretend for a minute that, I don't want to use the Bible because that's not a good illustration, but if we could pretend for a minute that this black iPad cover was my sin, the Lord Jesus literally took that and he put it on himself, and he died and took the payment for that himself. And on that basis, God can justify me and say, okay, you put your faith in my son, in his finished work, and therefore you can be justified and bear his righteousness, you see, and not my own. That's God's righteousness. He takes our sin. He bears it in his own body on the tree. He fully satisfies God's requirements for sin. And on that basis, God is both just and the justifier. Sin is paid. Nothing is swept under the carpet. And we will either, like the one thief, put our faith and trust in Jesus and receive God's full and free pardon and gift, or we'll be like the other thief and pay for it ourselves, and that payment will be an eternity that's lost. And that's a weighty thing. And so we thank the Lord for this good news that we have to share with people, that even though things are serious, even though things are desperate, even though sin must be paid, even though there is eternal damnation, we have good news, friends. Nobody has to go there. We need to share that good news with people and let them know that God loves them, and that he is ready and willing to save them. They need to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And then skip over for a moment to Ephesians 2 and 8. It's a verse you know very well. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so when we come to the Lord by faith, we realize that we couldn't save ourselves, that we can't work for it, that we can't earn it, that we can't justify ourselves by any means. But we simply take the Lord at his word. We believe. We repent of our sin. We say, Father, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. And the Lord will abundantly pardon. Our God is a gracious God. He is ready and willing to save all who call upon his name. By grace you have been saved through faith. And then look what it says. I just want to read one more verse here. It's very wonderful. in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, because we're talking about a little bit about righteousness tonight, the fact that man doesn't have any. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. No one's righteous, but God is. And he's demonstrating his righteousness through the work of the cross and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says this, "For he made him," that's God the Father made him, Jesus the Son, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us." Listen to the second part. "That we might become the righteousness of God in him." And that's a tremendous, tremendous thing to read. You know, meditate on that tonight for a few hours before bed. It's a weighty matter. And I tremble to even utter it. Nonetheless, it is God's word. But when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus to save us, the Lord Jesus became sin for us. And all of God's wrath and fury was poured out on the Son of God. And we get in exchange, the Lord's righteousness is put on us. We bear a robe of righteousness, which is not our own. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so that when God looks at us now, when he looks at Mark Palmer now, he says, "Yes, Mark is a failure and a sinner, and he's done horrible things. But he's trusted my Son for salvation. And because of that, he is justified. And now he bears the righteousness of my Son before a holy God." And it's on that basis that we come to God. And it's on that basis we have hope and that we have assurance. And that we know with certainty. I remember it was kind of neat because it's really neat that the team is from North Carolina. Because it was 3 years ago this month that I was in North Carolina doing an outreach there. And we had a table set up at Walmart. They allowed us to put a gospel table out front. And I had a large man, a very tall, intimidating man, come to the table one day. And we talked for about 45 minutes. And he was with a very interesting group called Black Israel. And if you've never heard of that, I can explain it to you later. But basically, through the conversation, I said to this man, I said, "Sir, how do you know that you're going to heaven? On what basis are you going to heaven?" And he turned to me and said, "Because I keep the law." And I said to him, "How are you doing with that?" And there was a moment and his whole visage changed. And I could see that the truth was entering into his heart for just a moment. And his whole countenance fell. And he says, "Well," because up till then he was very bold. And I mean, he was preaching at me and he was just, you know. And when I said to him, "How are you doing keeping the law?" He had a moment of reckoning and he says, "Well, I try." And the Lord just gave me Romans 10 and verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes." And I said, "Sir, when I laid my head down on my pillow tonight, I know that I have a home in heaven, that I will go there. I have never kept the law. I never can keep the law. But Jesus Christ did for me. Because I put my faith in him, I have a home in heaven. And nothing and no one and nothing in all of creation or all of eternity can take that away from me." I said, "Do you have that assurance?" And he says, "No, I don't." And he walked away. And that's the assurance we have, not because of our own righteousness, but because we bear the righteousness of another, even the righteousness of Jesus Christ, by faith, by grace. And that's what Corinthians tells us here. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. It's not of us, and it never will be. It's all the glory and the praise to God. And that's the message we preach, and that's the message we proclaim. Not that we're better than other people. Not that somehow we're righteous. You know, people get misunderstanding and think, "Oh, well, there's those Christians, you know, and you know, you stop smoking, drinking, going to church, and you know, and you do all these things, and that's what they're all about." No, actually, it's about faith in Jesus Christ, right? We're no better than anyone else. And so anyway, just a brief look at Romans chapter 3. And so hopefully that's an encouragement to you. And as believers, we can revel in that. We can just praise the Lord for that because he's done everything for us. And sometimes, even as believers, we can struggle sometimes and think about our life as about performance. And certainly, as believers, we want to go on for the Lord. We want to live for the Lord. We want to give our lives to him. That's important. But our salvation is entirely in his hands, and we praise him for it. So we'll just pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing, Father, to come into this world to take my sin, to take our sin in your own body on the tree. Lord, you bore it in my place. Lord, you took the punishment and the wrath of God upon yourself that was due to me. And Lord, tonight I stand free in you. And I thank you and I bless your name. Father, just encourage us. Lord, encourage our hearts in the truth, Lord, of what you have done. We praise you. You are worthy. And Lord, we thank you and bless you, Lord, for such a free gift that you have given to us. Lord, help us to be faithful to you, Lord, to serve you, to share with others this wonderful news of your saving grace. Father, we just commit ourselves to you now, in the Lord Jesus' name.